turn the lights out, baby.
This one's for the ladies in the house.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 9th edition of the Home Videodrome Podcast. I am your host, Hunter Deusing, and with me is, as always, is the lovely and talented Jim Dirks.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Or guy, you, Hunter, how are you?
Our imaginary audience out there.
People who might care.
They might care, they might not. I don't know.
All right.
Well, they just don't know how lovely you are.
I know.
They know how talented you are.
Well, that's pushing it, but...
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah. So, Jim.
Yes.
Seen anything good this week?
I did. I actually yesterday watched a bunch of movies. I watched The Weather Girl, which is by a friend of the show, Blaine Weaver, who I'm going to be interviewing before too long for his upcoming movie, 6 Month Rule. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was charming. I also watched The People versus George Lucas.
Oh, what was that like?
It was interesting because I had totally forgotten that George Lucas came out violently opposed to colorizing movies because he said...
Yes, he did.
Yeah, then it's just okay for filmmakers to go back in and alter existing films.
Yep. Yeah, he's a flaming hypocrite.
Yes, he is. But I also... It's interesting, but it's one of those things where it comes back to what we said on our show. Yeah, you have the right to complain about it all you want, but if you go out and pay money for it at this point, then shut up.
Yeah,
you've lost that right to complain.
You're only feeding the beast.
Exactly. But I also saw Super, which was wow.
I've seen Super.
That thing was tonally all over the place.
I really liked it.
I liked it, but it's tonally all over the fucking place.
It's a bit Taxi Driver. It's a bit Kick-Ass, yeah. Even though it was made at the same time as Kick-Ass.
Uh-huh.
But it's a bit a lot of things.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
I'm not saying this is like a negative or a bag and up, but it is all fucking over the place.
So, like, how do you mean?
I liked it. Like, well, I mean, it just seemed like it was. We'll go for comedy, and then just intense drama. And like that tonally, it was all over the place. I'm not insulting it. It's just an observation. It's like, wow. Mm-hmm. So this went from making light of stuff to, you know, someone's head getting blown off.
Yeah.
And, you know, dramatic, just intense, in tears, collapsing scenes.
Yeah. Well, Rainn Wilson's character is a hot mess.
Yeah, he really is.
Of a person. But he's very much a Travis Bickle type, talks to himself a lot, has really fucked up reasons for what he does,
right.
And really fucked up ways of executing those things.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a scene where this guy butts in line,
mm-hmm.
and Rainn Wilson gets really angry and goes back. And this, you know, the guy's being a real dick about it, too.
Uh-huh.
And so Rainn Wilson goes back to his car, puts on his outfit, walks his Crimson Bolt uniform, because he's a superhero,
mm-hmm.
and he walks back to the guy with a pipe wrench and busts him in the head and his date.
Yeah.
And cracks their skulls open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scene that's funny and fucking horrifying
at
the same
really,
time.
It really, really is. It really is.
Like, cause, I mean, it's funny in concept. He beats a guy, like, you know, nearly to death for butting in line.
Right.
But it's the idea of it is funny, but the movie does not attempt to make it, execute it as funny.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and that's why I was saying that, just from a tone standpoint, it was, okay, mm-hmm. that's different. and I saw Attack the Block, which I enjoyed quite a bit. I did quite like it, yes. It was good. It was quite good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you just kind of see the Carpenter touches?
Oh, totally, totally.
The bit of Walter Hill in there. It's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Moses.
That was cool, and I liked that it did have some shit that came out, you know, about being neighbors and all that stuff. I mean, it was mm-hmm. really good.
Yeah.
So, good stuff.
Yeah,
good
it's fun.
Stuff.
It's a fun flick. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a few things here and there. I saw Lars von Trier's Melancholia today.
Ah.
His new movie.
How was it?
It was great.
That's good.
It really captures... the sort of helplessness of depression in a really intense way. Like, the movie is about Kirsten Dunst plays this woman who the first half of the movie is a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I love weddings in movies because the dramatic potential for them is always off the chart.
Right.
You know, like, you always have the little, it's always, because what's not said is always boiling under the surface.
Right, right.
Uh-huh. And this movie is full of that. But Kirsten Dunst plays the bride to be, and she is violently depressed.
Uh huh.
And we're not quite sure why.
Right.
But we can tell that, you know, she's got some problems. And it's, you know, this fabulously wealthy family.
Uh-huh.
This fabulously wealthy wedding. And yet everyone's miserable.
Right.
You know. And meanwhile, there is a planet that's been hiding behind the sun called Melancholia that is headed towards Earth. And some believe that the planet will smash into the Earth and destroy it. Others believe it will, like, Kiefer Sutherland plays this scientist who's the husband to Kirsten Dunst's character's sister,
mm-hmm.
who's played by Charlotte Gainsbourg, and he insists that it's not going to hit the Earth and that everything's going to be okay.
Wow.
But the movie opens, though, with Melancholia destroying the Earth.
Oh.
And smashing into the Earth and everything. It has this really artsy opening before it gets to the story.
Right.
So you know at when it begins that Earth is going to be destroyed and that everything that's going on. You have a wedding, which is all about new beginnings.
Uh-huh.
And yet we as the audience know that the world is going to end very soon.
Wow.
But unlike most movies of that nature, you don't get the news broadcasts, the hysteria,
mm-hmm.
the shots of people rioting in the street. It's all contained on this fabulous estate, this wealthy estate
uh-huh.
that you would have to be rich as hell to own.
Right.
And it focuses on these few characters before the apocalypse. But it almost feels like at certain points in the movie that Kirsten Dunst's character is so depressed that she is bringing about the apocalypse through her depression.
Okay. Interesting.
But the movie really just brings on those feelings of just like, hey man, you want to go get some coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah.
You know, but the movie isn't acting like that, but it actually, it feels like Lars von Trier really bottled depression and sold it with this movie.
All right. Well, that's a reigning endorsement.
It's a really good movie, though, and it's one I would definitely say see on the big screen.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Because it's just, there are some, especially for the final shot.
Uh-huh.
I saw that, and I got to see a movie I worked on last night called Losers Take All,
uh-huh.
which is about a group of kids who form a punk band in the 80s.
Okay.
And it was a fun flick. I helped recruit it to Memphis and did a lot of work on it.
Oh,
and I got to see my name in the credits, so that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And there was a big party afterwards and had a blast. At one of the after parties I went to, I got to chit chat with Chris Parnell for a little bit.
Oh, cool.
And you know who else was at the party? I just missed him. He had left like around the time I got there was Jason Baldwin, one of the West Memphis Three.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Cause Paradise Lost Three was screening today.
Very nice.
At the festival, and Joe Berlinger was going to be there, but I had to miss it. I've had an interesting weekend, but Losers Take All is going to be a fun movie. I saw it with an enthusiastic crowd, so that kind of enhances the experience.
Right, right.
But it was a fun, if you dig 80s punk and just that sort of spirit,
uh-huh.
It's a fun flick.
Oh, cool.
So keep an eye out for that one. It's going to be distributed uh-huh. here at some point.
Cool, will do. Yeah. Will do, all right.
But yeah, that's about it for me.
Cool.
But keep an eye out for both of those. Melancholia should be coming to theaters pretty soon.
Right on. All right. Well, let's see what we've got happening this week.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Let's, Mr. Big Dick Swingin' comes first, as per usual.
Yes, uh-huh.
And we've got Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, as well as Harry Potter, the Complete Collection, Years 1 through 7,
uh-huh.
on Blu-ray and DVD.
Right.
So
I am a big fan of this film from that series. This is like my favorite of the series.
The last one?
Yeah. I think it's got some of the best filmmaking. There's one sequence in this that to me is where Harry goes into the memory. That is the best filmmaking that's been done in the entire series.
Okay.
It's really good. It is really good. This is, I think, you know, the best filmmaking, the most mature. It's the one that made me want to worship Satan the most. So it's the one where they really hit what the overall purpose of the books was.
Oh, good.
You know?
So the Baptists were right
on.
Oh,
dead on. Dead on. So, yeah. I'm down with that.
So now you are listening to lots of black metal.
Oh, totally, yeah.
You and Clarkson both.
Oh, yes, yes.
And, you know, worshiping the Dark Lord and trying to conjure him up to be with us.
It's what you do.
Yep. Mm. You know, I've only seen the first three Harry Potter movies.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you're not missing a whole hell of a lot. If you were going to get anything out of it, you'd be more jazzed about seeing it. You know,
that's... Yeah, I mean... I want to rewatch the third one because it's Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah.
And I saw Y Tu Mamá También for the first time recently.
Right.
And that movie, like, just I love Children of Men.
Uh-huh.
But watching Y Tu Mamá También just made me go, God, that guy's a great filmmaker.
Cool.
Yeah. You know? That was a fantastic film.
It's like, this is a good movie. It's cool, but I mean, it's Harry Potter. Shit, I mean,
exactly. I didn't think it would be as good as Y Tu Mamá También,
right?
Children of Men, but at the same time, I was kind of like, I want to see it again just to kind of study it more because I saw it like, you know, on a television,
right?
Half paying attention to it, you know. And so I didn't see it in the theater, but yeah. So I don't know. I'll probably never see the rest of them, honestly, just because I don't really care.
Yeah, exactly. Shit. Well, there you go.
I'd rather watch depressing movies about planets destroying the Earth.
There you go.
It's more my joint.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so you obviously know if this is up your alley or not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then the next one up is just a fucking weird idea.
Have you seen this movie?
No, I heard such bad things about it, even from folks that are like, you know, it's fucking, what's her name?
Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand, it's great. It's like, no.
Yeah, this is Atlas Shrugged Part 1.
You don't make something contemporary that has, you know, old school shit, man. You just don't. I'm sorry. You don't make something contemporary that's about railroads.
Faulty premise aside... It's just a bad movie.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, a lot of, you know, right-leaning movie sites, such as the ones I write for,
mm-hmm.
They've been promoting it like hell and stuff. But honestly, it is such a clunky mess of a film. It was so boring. I went to see it with my roommate, and he fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
During it, and just got up to go to the bathroom, which he never does, you know, just didn't care.
Right.
I mean, it was just such a boring, poorly told, just snooze fest,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm not saying this, I've never read any of Ayn Rand's novels. I've tried reading Anthem a few times and I really liked
The Fountainhead.
Well, and the closest I've come to reading one of her books is I've seen the movie The Fountainhead, which she wrote the script.
Yeah, the movie The Fountainhead is shit. It's really not very good.
It's directed by King Vidor.
Yeah.
The guy with the best name on the planet.
Exactly, yeah, but it was written by a novelist.
Yeah, no, and honestly, The Fountainhead, the movie, is way better than the Atlas Shrugged movie.
Oh wow, that's
the problem with the Fountainhead movie is that it punches you in the face over and over again, which is with its themes.
Right.
And these are themes I enjoy, but at the same time I feel like they're being crammed down my throat.
Because it's written by a novelist, not a screenwriter.
Well, it's written by a novelist who's pretending to be a novelist. She's a philosopher.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, and Atlas, but this movie is just, you know, it's hard because the story for Atlas Shrugged, from what I understand, is basically just philosophy veiled with With a thin story.
Yeah, I understand that it is very thinly veiled allegorical stuff, but it's just the choice of subject doesn't make sense. So
yeah, and you know, if they could sell it, if they but they can't. You
right.
know? It's
right.
just it's just so clunky and dramatically uninteresting, and it's just not a good film. Like, you know, if it, a lot of people are going to give it ups because they agree with its politics.
Right.
But I'm sorry. I don't care if a movie jives with my worldview or not.
Yeah.
If it's a good movie, it's a good movie.
Exactly.
And that's all I want.
Exactly.
That's all I want. Every time I dislike a film there's always someone who goes, this is not a movie for critical analysis. It is what it is.
Oh, that's bullshit.
What were you expecting, Citizen Kane? No, I just want a good movie.
Yeah, I was expecting
that
to be bad.
I want a movie that's
going to
be dramatically interesting. Yeah. And, you know, the Atlas Shrugged film, sorry, but it's not a good movie.
I just love that. That's such a cop-out. Oh, well, what, not every movie's going to be an Oscar winner. Oh, so that's great.
So then
I'm never going to be fucking Pope, so that means it's okay for me to murder people.
It's just
such
a load
of shit.
Every time someone says, "What were you expecting?" says, "Okay, no, I was expecting a good movie."
Yeah, I was expecting.
That's
it to
all
be
I want.
Than it was.
I don't even want a great movie. Yeah. I just want a good movie. If it's a great movie, awesome.
Yeah,
but
I was expecting a good film,
or at least an interesting one.
Yeah.
And Atlas Shrugged is not even that.
Just
read the book. Just read the book again.
Yeah.
If you're that.
If that's
starved.
Your cup of tea, go for it.
But yeah. So anyway. If you haven't seen it and you're curious, you don't need to bother.
Right.
I think it is. It's not even. I am a red meat eating, gun toting, right leaning guy, and I'm not saying this because I have some beef with the subject matter.
Uh-huh.
It's a legitimately bad movie. It's objectively a bad movie. It's not even a matter of opinion.
There we go.
So yeah. Anyway, moving on.
We're moving forward, yes.
We have something that couldn't be, complete shift in gears here.
Yeah.
This movie looks horrible.
Oh,
the change
just, up. Everything about it looked fucking awful.
It's directed by David Dobkin, who I don't think can direct a movie. It's basically Freaky Friday, but if peeing in a fountain together.
Right. It was
caused the body switch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess Jason Bateman's like a guy with a family, and Ryan Reynolds is a single playboy, and they wish they had each other's lives, and ooh, it happens because they peed in a fountain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And, yeah, that happens, so there.
So, yeah, no, never will see it,
yeah.
So.
That's how I am, so enjoy it, folks.
Enjoy it. If that's what you like, go for it.
Mm-hmm. And then the next one's up, a movie I tried to get through but just fucking couldn't.
I love this movie,
I could give a shit about David Lynch, and so when people talk about how great Blue Velvet is, I'm just like, whatever.
You almost said National Velvet.
That's like literally how little a shit I give.
What's that man doing to Elizabeth Taylor?
It was like, I watched a little bit of it, I'm like, oh, wow, so boring suburbia, pastel, how fucking original of you. This is great. Yeah, I seriously couldn't fucking watch it.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was the whole time like, Jesus.
Well, I really like Blue Velvet, but it kind of hit me at the right time. And, I understand why David Lynch just does not jive for some people.
I called Clarkson halfway through it. I was like, fucking really?
Is he a fan of this movie?
Yeah, he loves it. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Fucking really? And he's like, hey man, I like it. I was like, okay, whatever, dude. He's like,
dude, I'm with Clarkson. I really love this movie.
Yeah, I'm just not a David Lynch fan. I mean, you know my feelings. I'm a story guy, and the story on whatever.
I think Blue Velvet, though, it's not like Mulholland Drive or Inland Empire or Lost Highway, where it's just total weirdness. You know, it does have a...
I just didn't give a shit about it. That's all.
Okay.
Like, it started going, and I was trying. I was really fucking trying to be into it. It just wasn't there. It just wasn't there for me.
I like it just because, I mean, I think it's got a really interesting film noir center with the sort of setting, and Dennis Hopper is just off the chain.
Yeah, I don't like it because I think it's the movie that fucking gets all the hipsters drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, you know what? It totally is.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, anytime, shut the fuck up and watch something that doesn't suck.
You're absolutely right about that. I think this movie is one of the reasons Pabst kind of is popular among the hipster crowd.
Right.
They talked about that at the Alamo Drafthouse when we saw True Grit there, mm-hmm. didn't we?
I think so, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they talked about how when Dennis Hopper said that, it caused a stir mm-hmm. in the audience. So, yeah. But Blue Velvet, you know if you want this movie. Yeah. It's on Blu-ray. I might just stick with my DVD because it's not one I feel compelled to upgrade.
And it's probably going to be one of those cheap fucking ports over, so it's just going to be...
Yeah, you know, and the only way I'd pick it up, really, is if there's a ton of scenes that David Lynch shot. There are stills from there on the DVD, but they are lost.
Mm-hmm.
And if those were to make their way, not in the film, because I think the film is fine the way it is, but if they had those as deleted scenes, I'd be very interested to see those. But unless those were on the Blu-ray, that's the only way I'd pick it up, really, and they're not. So
mm-hmm.
That would be the only thing that would get me to upgrade
my
copy. But so anyways, the next one on our list looks like an art house classic. Destined to, I'm sure, win some Oscars. We have Mortal Kombat Legacy, starring Michael High White.
Oh, yeah. Well, what gets me is it doesn't have that Mortal Kombat Reborn on it. That short video that I met the writer of.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's not on there. And that's, like, literally the only film of Mortal Kombat that's worth seeing, so...
I've never seen that.
And this is one where if you even are slightly considering purchasing it, you're not listening to this recording.
You are.
Like, seriously, this is something people are like, oh, it's that. Oh, Mortal Kombat. Badass. Now all I need is the fucking Blu-ray of Navy SEALs, and I'll never have to leave the house again.
Ooh, Navy SEALs. man. Or Mortal Kombat Annihilation was seriously like is one of the worst movies ever.
I think like, I saw just, the first one and then was like, I am good forever.
Oh, you know, I haven't even seen the entirety of the second one, but it's so incompetent.
That's how it seems. It feels fucking ham-fisted.
But, you know... I'm sure a lot of people own the soundtrack to that first one.
Probably. Yeah.
Probably. Did you know that in the game, the character of Johnny Cage was originally supposed to be Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he was supposed to be a playable character in the game.
Jesus. It's pretty funny. Yeah, I've only played that game like 3 times, so...
Ah.
Yeah, I know nothing of it.
Oh, okay.
See, there you go.
Yeah, I was the right age for Mortal Kombat when it came out, because it was kind of the dangerous thing to play.
Yeah, it was the same here, but I was just a little bit older, so I was like, I just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, no, you were probably like, oh, violence.
Uh-huh.
Oh, how lovely.
How clever.
But, you know, it was, I was pretty young, so it was kind of, you know, ooh, it had that mystique, like, mom and dad don't want you to play that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know. By the time Mortal Kombat 4 rolled around, I had moved on.
Right on. But, right on.
I'm talking about the games, but not the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the next one I've never seen, but it was originally Kubrick was directing it, and he left and Brando took over direction, and that's a Western coming called One-Eyed Jacks.
Never even heard about it.
It's a Western directed by Marlon Brando.
Well,
and it's been sitting in the public domain for a while.
Ah.
So, you know, there's a ton of editions kicking around on DVD. This is the first I've seen of it on Blu-ray.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so there it is. And quick correction from a few weeks ago. Amazon said Destroy All Monsters was coming out, but apparently it got pushed back to this week.
Okay, so. Well, there we go.
And if you were looking for it, it's here.
Yeah, now it's available. All right.
Now it's available.
Cool.
So, just saw that. And so, next up, we've got... one of the greatest movies ever made, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's safe to say. Wouldn't you say, Jim?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Cannonball Run. Nothing wrong with
it. Yeah, on Blu-ray.
Have you ever seen Gumball Rally, which is sort of the... Uh-huh. It's a predecessor, but it's a very similar storyline. That
kind of like It's a Mad World.
Yeah, illegal cross-country race.
Yeah.
So...
I love these Burt Reynolds, Hal Needham movies.
Yeah, because they're just fucking fun, man.
Dude, Roger Moore is hilarious in this film. Like, him doing the James Bond thing.
Yeah, I'm Roger Moore. And then Jackie Chan kicks him in the face.
Yeah, this is Jackie Chan's first Hollywood movie.
Yep. And he's playing a Japanese guy, which is hilarious.
Which is weird. But it was co-produced by Raymond Chow, who was the guy behind Golden Harvest over in Hong Kong.
Cannonball Run is an unquestioned classic, so...
I love this movie. Dom DeLuise is Captain Chaos.
Oh, I love that shit. I love Dom DeLuise. I just fucking love him.
Been a cop long. And one of the best, though, is Jack Elam as the
there's
FBI
the
doctor.
Small matter of my fee.
Cysts on the walls of her lungs. And he's sticking his middle finger and everybody. Yeah. The only instrument I need is this.
And he fucking dips it in whiskey to sanitize it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Elam kills in this movie. He's so fucking good.
It's so fun. I want to watch it now just talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Same here, man.
But you got Dean Martin. Yep. You know, and Adrian Barbeau's cleavage.
Yeah. Ain't a movie without that.
Dude, seriously. Adrian Barbeau is kind of a weird kind of hot.
Yeah,
you know?
She is. Totally, like, angry and mean, but hot at the same time.
Oh, my goodness. In every movie, they've got those boobs just pressed up, you know?
Yes, they do. Yes,
and, of course, we have the late Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah, she was quite good in it, too.
Yeah, she was.
It's Cannonball Run. Shit, you got to get that.
Oh, yeah. I might grab this one on Blu-ray, actually, because the DVD is such a piece of crap.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I've never seen the Cannonball Run 2, though.
It's not that. You're fine. You are fine.
So anyway, next we have one of the Terry Gilliam movies I like a little more than others. The Fisher King.
Have not seen it.
It's good. It's worth seeing.
Yeah, I have an odd relationship with Gilliam. I'm okay with him on the one hand, but I just like, whatever. Who gives a shit?
Dude, it's less Gilliam-ish than...
That's cool.
...than his other films. I mean, it's more of a straight-up drama, but Jeff Bridges is great in it. Robin Williams is great. It's worth seeing.
Okay.
I'd give it a look.
Cool.
I mean, I'm not... You know my thoughts on Terry Gilliam. Yeah. I'm kind of over him.
Right.
But this is one of his movies that I think is well worth the time, especially given his relationship to Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
This is a movie about a guy seeking the Grail in New York.
Right,
but
right.
It's a really good movie, though.
Oh, cool.
Like, Jeff Bridges plays a Howard Stern-type shock jock DJ who gets out on his ass, and it's good.
Cool.
Okay, so... Every week, we get Disney loads up their shotgun of re-releases and adds the 3D to
it
and fucking fires it straight at our face, you know?
And here we've got four movies I haven't seen.
I haven't seen any of them either. I never will see any of them.
Meet the Robinsons, Bolt, Chicken Little, and G-Force. Don't give a shit about
any of them. Yeah.
At all.
Disney's non-Pixar movies aren't so great.
Yeah. So, there's that.
Yeah, so they're all being re-released in 3D. Just if you're a fan of some of these movies, just hang on to the ones.
And you want them to look weird, then get them.
If you want them, spend
some money on 3D.
Yeah. Well, so a lot of people watch this next movie, I think, just for the pure nakedness of it all. Gia.
Yeah. Yeah.
On Blu-ray. With Angelina Jolie.
Even then, the nakedness is wildly disappointing.
Oh, dude, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I've seen Gia. It is boring as hell.
It is boring as hell, and the stuff that you're tuning in for is so minimal that it might as well not even be there.
And it's sleazy, too, though. Yeah. The whole movie, the whole movie just feels gross to me.
And not in a good way.
I feel like an
asshole watching it, too, because I'm just like, I don't fucking... care. I'm so tired of these movies that are asking me to feel sorry for, oh yes, yeah, this good looking girl, but that's all she ever was. She made a fucking good living by simply being hot and then didn't know how to deal with it. Oh no, I'm sorry. As soon as I'm done with this 40 hour work week, I'll shed a tear for you.
Yes, indeed,
bitch. Fucking bullshit.
Jim, but you should identify with this because you've always gotten by on your
drives. I have. It's how I've
gotten. You've always skated by.
That's how I've gotten as far as I have in life.
Yeah, it's them titties. You
exactly.
Know?
That's why I'm doing a fucking audio podcast
for no money.
I've reached the top, baby.
So I've never seen this next one, To Die For, which is on Blu-ray.
It's not bad.
I've heard it's one of Gus Van Sant's better Hollywood efforts.
It is. It really is. I mean, for what that means, it's a decent flick. I mean, interesting. I saw it in a very small theater when it was new.
Okay.
And I haven't seen it since. So
all right.
It's difficult for me to really go much further into it than that.
All right. I've been meaning to check it out, so now seems like high time to do so.
Yes, it is. High time.
Executive Decision on Blu-ray.
Ah, that's some good shit.
Die, Steven Seagal.
Yeah, that was ballsy. I love the fact that Stevie Seagal took the took the part of the guy who ends up dying early. I mean, it's kind of cool.
Well, you know, but he didn't do it without kicking and screaming first.
Oh, most likely, no. Yeah.
I heard he threatened to walk off the movie, and they threatened to sue him for breach of contract.
Nice.
He was pissed about that. He did not want to go through with that. He. I don't think the only other movie he's died in that I haven't seen every single one of his movies.
Uh-huh.
But the only other movie I've seen that he dies in is Machete.
Uh huh. God, that thing.
Yeah. Stinko-rama.
Yeah, so there we go.
But yeah, this one I've seen some of it a long time ago, and I couldn't quite appreciate it in the circumstances I saw it in.
Uh-huh.
It's Fanny and Alexander on Criterion Blu-ray.
I've not seen it.
This is Ingmar Bergman's film. There's the movie version, the theatrical version, which is like a 3-hour film, and then there's the TV version, which is extremely long.
Okay.
But this was Bergman's last film to come out in theaters, uh-huh. I think. Everything he did after that was television.
Okay.
But it's considered to be one of his, you know, great works. But I wasn't in a position to appreciate it when I first saw it, so I'm keen to revisit it.
Okay, cool.
Because Bergman is one of my favorite dramatists, like, excuse me, The Seventh Seal.
Right.
You know, Wild Strawberries. He's just a fantastic filmmaker and always has well realized human characters
uh-huh.
in his films. So, uh-huh. This one's definitely one for me to check, one to visit.
Right on.
Next up, we have Frank Hennenlotter's Frankenhooker on Blu-ray.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a big Frank Hennenlotter fan. He's the guy who did the Basket Case films.
Right.
And, this is one of his I haven't seen, so I need to watch it.
Right. Okay.
But his movies are a ton of fun. Brain Damage and yeah.
All right.
He's it's always great fun, his films.
Okay.
I don't think you've seen any, Jim.
No, I haven't.
Not much of a exploitation fan.
Not so much, no.
Yeah.
So there it is. Yeah.
I'm curious to know the last one on our list here. This is one I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are on this. A Korean remake of John Woo's A Better Tomorrow.
I didn't even know such a thing exists, but I shouldn't be surprised by it.
Yeah. And I apparently it uses the same script.
Oh, well, that's fucking cool. I can get behind that. I mean, yeah. I'll check it out because I enjoy Korean film, but...
Me too. And I'm a big fan of A Better Tomorrow.
It is quite good. It really is.
I'm a big John Woo mark, but A Better Tomorrow was my introduction to John Woo.
Yeah,
actually.
I think it wasn't everybody's, man, because that that was one that was out at like Blockbuster. You know, it was A Better Tomorrow, The Killer, and Hard Boiled. Those were the ones that you could find in most people's. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Most everyone started out with A Better Tomorrow.
Yep. I mean, I had the DVD cover, and it's got Chow Yun-Fat lighting a cigarette with that
$100 bill,
with that dollar bill on fire, and I was just like sold.
Yeah, I'm down with this. Yeah,
and on the back, you know, there's that scene where he guns those guys down in the restaurant, and one of them shoots his knee out.
Yeah, yeah, that's brutal.
Ugh. Oh, jeez,
and it's damn brutal. Yep.
But after A Better Tomorrow came out, though, you couldn't keep the Hong Kong clothing shops couldn't keep those
trench coats in stock.
On the shelves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will say something that surprises me a little bit here is that you left The Collector coming out on Blu-ray off your list. Yeah, Terrence Stamp as this like guy who gets obsessed with this woman and ends up kidnapping and kidnapping her. Yeah, I mean, it's William.
I've never seen this.
William Wyler directing. It's kind of like this.
Oh shit! I gotta see
it's
that.
It's really good. Like, yeah, I was amazed. I mean, it's nondescript bank clerk who like wins a sports pool and is wealthy, and his fixation was this London art student. And he captures her and takes him out to this cellar in his remote farmhouse and tries to, you know, kind of, he collects butterflies and shit like that. And uh-huh. She's basically like just part of that collection. It's really,
it sounds kind
cool.
of like, it sounds kind of like Peeping Tom.
Yes, it is kind of. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's in, very much in that tradition.
Yeah, okay. It's I love those psychotic loner movies though, like
it's really,
Taxi Driver,
yeah,
Super.
Yeah. It's, you know, really good, and it hits that pretty much dead on the fucking head.
Well, and William Wyler was a really underrated director from the Hollywood Golden Age, because that guy could do anything.
Oh,
he
yeah.
did all kinds of genres, westerns, sword and sandal flicks,
mm-hmm.
And apparently this sort of, I didn't know he did a movie like this psychotic loner horror
it's
film.
Really fucking good, man.
You know, I gotta see this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so is this your pick of the week?
Yeah, right? It is. It's underappreciated, an absolute fucking gem, needs to be checked out.
All right. Well, my pick of the week, since I'm going on stuff I've seen, is probably The Cannonball Run.
Awesome.
I am Captain Chaos.
I love that you picked that over Blue Velvet.
I did.
My child, I had sorry. To pick between Cannonball Run and Blue Velvet, so I've
seen Blue Velvet more times, but damn it, it's The Cannonball
it's
Run, motherfuckers.
Cannonball Run. How do you not love it?
That, and I'm not going to pick up Blue Velvet on Blu-ray. I might get Cannonball Run on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that works.
Because that DVD needs to be traded up.
Oh, totally, yes. Exactly.
And Hal Needham, you know.
Well, and DeLuise.
Yeah. Shit. Totally.
What the fuck more does anyone want than Dom DeLuise in a movie?
Bum, bum, bum.
Yep. I love me some DeLuise. So.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. He was always in those Don Bluth animated films.
Right, right.
Always showed up in those. It was always a reliable and comforting thing to hear his voice come out of like a cartoon dog or
yeah,
a cat in one of
the
movies.
I love that guy.
He was great as in Don Bluth's The Secret of Nim as the crow.
Uh huh.
He was hilarious.
He's just really good at it all, man. I mean, yeah. What else can you say?
Yeah. But so Cannonball Run's my pick of the week, but The Collector, I'm adding this to my Amazon wish list.
I think you'll dig the hell out of it, man.
I am excited. I want to see this. The premise is right up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. All right. Well, so that's it for this week.
That takes care of it. It's a quick show, but hey, I think we're good with this.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm going back to watching some Mike Lee films for an upcoming episode of the Midnight Movie Cowboys.
Awesome. I'm going to go back and watch some more of, what's his name, of Mr. Wilder's shit, of Blake stuff to get ready for when he's on the show. So that'll be
good,
fun.
Good.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
And do you remember, you know, the stand-up comedian Fred Stoller?
Yeah.
He's going to be on the show before too long.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Stay tuned to the Film Thugs feed, everybody.
Yeah, working the network, yo.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, everybody. That wraps it up for this week. I'm Hunter Deucing.
I'm Jim Dirks.
Take care,
y'all. Take care. Bye-bye.